Thank you. If you had relatives who brought slaves over here, well, praise God. Thank you. Glory. Hallelujah. Now get free from any greed you might have in your family history. But what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it to good. Nobody can see that God turned it for good. All things work together to those who love God and call according to his purposes. All things. Slavery worked together for good to those who were crying out for something real in God. Hallelujah. Where we got to make up this stuff where we still make somebody feel inferior and then spiritualize it. Oh, this goes again. There's false prophetic stuff going on with people who love God and have good hearts. But I'm sorry, it doesn't line up with being complete in Christ. It doesn't matter what your ancestors did. It doesn't matter what your mama did. It doesn't matter what your daddy did. It doesn't matter what anybody did. What matters is Christ set me free and redeemed me from everything Satan has done, past, present, and future. And all I need is him. And boy, I'm telling you what, it's part of the whole covering thing. It's part of the whole thing of putting man in the place. We don't need a man to stand in the gap today. We have rent the veil. We now have direct access to God. If you got a problem with your ancestry, go to him and let him deal with you and fix it. I'm not saying that people's hearts aren't right. But you know what? This is sad. I'm going to say it. If we really believe God's going to move because of all of our prayers and because of our intercession and our fasting and all the things we're doing, then we think our works are going to impress God and make a difference. And you know what? We're going to take so much credit and take God's glory that he can't even move without dishonoring himself. So instead, that whole move is going to go through fire and look like, before God's going to really do his thing. They judge the faith movement for naming and claiming it. And they just took it to a higher level. Oh. I'm not talking about true spirit-led prayer. I'm not talking about a true humble people who know that they can do nothing of themselves. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a puffed up thing where people think God has to do something because they prayed. Not an humble thing where people are being changed and given the heart of God and crying out. And folks, with anything, the two can stand side by side. And it's only by the heart and the fruit that you can see which is which. You don't stop the real because of the other, but you deal with your motive. You deal with your motive. God, if you have me pray for something, do I have to proclaim it? He says, whatever you pray in secret, God will answer. I don't see a lot of praying in secret. I see, give me the movie camera, give me the Charisma magazine, let's make a video. Two gods, can't serve them both. So we can begin to see in these houses, pride is a foundation in one. What's that said? Pride, humility. Pride is dependency on you. Pride is dependency on you. You can do it. You can be a success. You can make this work. You. Your prayers can change things. Your prayers can do this. You can stand in the gap. You. Pride. Spiritualize it if you want. It's ugly. Okay? That's one thing. Humility is I'm just dependent on God. You've got to go through the fire, folks. You've got to go and see that you cannot even see your headache go away except by God's grace. You have to be at a place where you're so thrilled when God heals somebody like Deborah, but absolutely humbled to know that Jenny is your best friend, has worked with you, walked with you, you love them to bits and you want them healed, and you can lay hands on them till you're blue in the face and it just hurts some more. It's not up to you. It's not up to you. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. You cannot do anything to bring healing to your child. Nothing but God. If you know him, if you walk with him, if you love him, if it's all about God, you can trust him to do everything he's promised you he will do. And he's faithful. and you begin to deal with your issues and you realize he is faithful, but you lose that security in self. You lose being able to manipulate and use the gospel to build up what you want. But you begin to find God in a way to know, wow, he's better at this than me anyway. He does more than I could ask or think. See, our fear makes us afraid to really trust God. That's the truth. That's why you don't want a trial. You don't want a trial because you don't want to go there because you're not in control. That's the truth. You don't want to go there because you're not in control. And you'll take doctrine and Satan will let you take doctrine and you'll put it in his house thinking it's in God's house. And you'll think by your doctrine, you can now solve all the world's problems, especially your own. I was there. Read my book, Joy Comes in the Morning. When Nicholas died, that was the beginning of the book. When he died, I began to watch the house crumble. Then when my daughter died, just a few, I don't even remember what, months later or whatever now, it fell apart. And where I had tried to use God and use his word and try to make it look like faith, but it was fear, fell apart. But you know what I found? I found God. I found I could trust him. Now, when Satan knocks and tries to do his ugly stuff, I know who to run to. I know who I can trust. I'm so glad it's not about me. I can't even make the right decisions. But I found God. I know God. I trust God. I have no fear of death. I have no fear of something bad happening. There's no such thing as anything bad happening anymore. Not because it won't happen, but because God will give me the victory. He will take me through and he will make it greater than if it hadn't happened. And then what does Satan have left? If we zap her with this, she'll just get this bigger victory. If we zap her with this, she'll just get more authority. You want Satan where he can't do anything. He absolutely finally knows, I can't win. I can just see him screaming and yelling at his demons. Do you know what you're doing with this now? Why didn't you just leave this alone? She was good when she just ministered with knowledge, because knowledge puffs up. We were getting pride back in there. We could have really messed with her. But no, you come along and attack her kid. And now look, she lost the pride. God's healed her marriage. Her whole ministry has changed. Her whole life has changed. See, when Satan loses in this game, he loses big. But if he wins big. And the key to him losing is recognizing the house that he has in you. And we could go on and on. Oh, what we're going to do. Lord, help us know what we're going to do. How do you begin to tear down a house? All right. Who knows how to build a card house? You know what? Let me get two different tables. Let's build the pride house and let's build the low self-esteem house. Oh, while they're doing this, I need you to begin to ask the Holy Spirit, first of all, which house you're building. Here's some cards. Okay. No, it's one house. Okay, if the enemy's in there, it's one house, but it's a stronger fortified house. Okay, it's a stronger house. If it's a house based on low self-esteem as a bottom floor and condemnation, and then you begin to make your own self, which really means you let Satan begin to make you, then think how hidden that low self-esteem is. Fear is at the bottom of your house. Fear is at the bottom. Under a false judge is fear. What we want to do, maybe God's going to show us that the house can't stand. We'll come up with something. Anyway, first of all, every house that the enemy has built, I want you to write fear at the very bottom. There was something that you were fearful of that opened the door, fear. Fear of rejection, fear that you had no value, fear that you'd never be loved, fear, fear, fear. Every house of the enemy is built on fear. Every house of the Lord is built on faith. That's why if you're Abraham's seed, faith. Okay, so it's about fear. Remember, the Bible says the thing you fear most comes on you. Fear is what's created you to take on whatever you've taken on to deal with it. Now, on the next layer of your house, I want you to put, once fear came in, faith is what saved you. If you have even a seed of a faith the size of a seed of a mustard seed, then God can come in and do a work. So it only takes a little bit of fear. But I want you to put that the strong man, I want you to write strong man. You know what you might want to do? Actually put strong man, see strong man, so I see strong man under it, kind of really holding up this house. Yeah. And he's mammon. M-A-M-O-N. That's your strong man. Because it says you can't serve two masters. When you see that spirit, that strong man, that's the strong man, okay? That is the strong man. And all that means is that you compromised with the enemy and let Satan, whatever demon, I think this is the name of him, come in and begin to build that house, okay? And if, you know, that was in our teaching earlier out of Luke. He says you can't serve two masters. And the whole scripture is about building a house. And it was really cool how it all fits in, okay? I think you need sometimes the name and the understanding of the strong man. So basically, remember what the parable said. You made a negotiation with that spirit. And you know what? You made a negotiating with every one of his demons that come in after that. That's what inner healing is about. That's what undoing the works of the enemy are about. All right? So part of what you're going to want to do is maybe ask the Holy Spirit, whether you get it today or not, maybe you already know, what was the negotiating? What was the deal? How did I come in agreement? That's what you, I came in agreement. I came in union with this counterfeit spirit. Many of you realize, wow, this is what we've been doing. We've been disarming. We've been disarming the strong man. What's the strong man? Buying into the coping mechanisms of the devil and being in debt to him. Looking to him for answers. Looking to the way of the world. Looking to your intellect for answers. That's pride. Looking to money for answers. That could be prideful. Believing there are no answers. That's low self-esteem. Giving up everything. You see, you got two things going. Now, some of you can put there low self-esteem. Some of you know, I still come under condemnation. You may have pride too, but you know that there's a big fear of rejection. There's a fear of man. See all these fears? Satan's like, oh, you're going to be, he had somebody reject you. He had somebody abandon you. He had somebody falsely accuse you. He had somebody hurt you. He had somebody come in and totally come against you. But there's always going to be those lies. There's always going to be that false foundation. Satan spends your lifetime doing this. Every time somebody told you you were no good, every time somebody molested you, every time you felt left out, every time you felt hurt, every nasty thing the devil's done was making this house stronger, making it stronger so that you wouldn't be able to get free. You wouldn't be able to. Remember, there's a strong man. Some people's strong man is really strong. You absolutely have no self-esteem, and that strong man is so strong. Some of you have so much pride, or you think so highly of yourself, that you can't even see where the enemy had anything to do with this. You can't see where it's not the fruit of the Spirit. You can't see where it's been a coping mechanism. You can't see how it hurts people. You think your control is okay because you're right. You got so much wisdom. You don't see how it hurts people. You don't even see how it hurts people. Let me say this. If you're the stronger one in a relationship, and you're always the stronger one, and you're always the one who wins, you think, and if the other person absolutely can't argue with you, can't have a say, can't have a voice, they're just laughed off or put to the side or not thought, you have a real pride problem. Your coping mechanism is that you're always right because you're so scared of being wrong. And you don't realize that it can ruin a marriage. You can't realize it. You might think you have that great marriage, but if that other person doesn't have self-esteem, if that other person doesn't feel like they have value or a say, if it's a husband and he doesn't feel like he truly has headship in the natural, then what's going on with you is not of God. And one day it's going to crumble. And my desire would be to see it crumble because you get a revelation of it from the Holy Ghost, not because you have to watch it fall apart. You have to look at every relationship, every situation, not blame anyone else, and see what your part and what the devil doing is. How did God use me? I mean, not God. How did the enemy use me? And how can God use me to change it? Everything that comes your way is a pressure to show you where you're really at with God. And if your coping mechanism is not to be able to let God show you that, to just seem like it doesn't matter, or it's not a big deal, or it doesn't matter, don't blame anything, then God can't break through to you.